This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome in, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the studio. Maggie at the home studio for one more day. A little bit under the weather. Of course, I think you want to be at your home base to study all the combine interviews that are coming up. And also, I don't think you want to be around me right now. Let's be honest, because I am annoying because my Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. So I am sports cocky. And yesterday, Maggie, I was so happy to dunk on the Green Bay Packers because they came up with the softest proposal in the history of the NFL. Reportedly, the Green Bay Packers brought up to the competition committee, we have to ban the tush push. Oh, no. The Eagles have an unfair advantage because their QB sneak is better than ours. That is so pathetic. If you can't stop it, get the rules to change it. Did the NFL change the rules when they couldn't stop the Green Bay Packers Vince Lombardi sweep? Did they change the rules when Bill Walsh was carving up the rest of the league with the West Coast? Did they change the rules because Patrick Mahomes is too good? What do you mean change the rules? What is illegal about the tush push? You can't just change the rules because it works too well. It makes no sense.
Well, first of all, this is a pretty recent rule in the history of the NFL, right? You could start pushing people again, I think, going back to like 2005 or something. So let's not pretend like this has been ingrained in the fabric of the NFL for so, so long. And the difference is that it doesn't feel like a football play. That's why. You know, you're not going to ban things that feel like football, but this one, quite frankly, looks and feels a lot more like rugby. And here's my thing about the tush push, and I don't mind if they ban it, quite frankly, and you think your team is the only one that runs it. Well, my team does too. And the Eagles and the Bills have run the tush push 163 times combined over the last 3 years, and that's more than every other team in the NFL combined over the last 3 years. So my team's actually been not that bad at it. Take away the AFC Championship game, which we just saw, that aside, where they got a bad spot. But anyway, here's my question about the tush push. If this is a football play, Pearl, this is more of a football play, then why don't more teams run it?
Like,
that's my question, because lots of teams run quarterback sneak. Everyone, I think, has some version of quarterback sneak. But if it's such an obvious football play, then where are the other 30 teams? Literally two teams run it, your team and my team.
Well,
if it's such a football play, then why don't more teams do it?
I have no idea, because teams are idiots. They go to shotgun in 4th and 1, and that's why they're not in the Super Bowl. Well, I know the Chiefs don't run it because Mahomes got hurt on his – they don't run sneaks. Because Mahomes – not tush push, they don't run any sneaks because Mahomes got hurt on a sneak. But – the Ravens are awesome with it, with Mark Andrews. Like, they tush push. Their tush push is amazing. I guess they don't trust Mark Andrews anymore. But they should. Every team should run it. And by the way, quarterback sneaks. I hate it when the fans are right, but the fans for years have been right about coaches punt too often and they don't quarterback sneak enough. It's insane to me. When it's 4th and inches and some team lines up in shotgun, I'm like, what are you doing? Do you not like first downs? I think everybody should run it, and I don't know why they don't run it. I know that some coaches, like Sean McDermott yesterday, said it's an injury risk. whatever. I mean, what are you banning? Tell me, Maggie, like, write the rule. It's not a football play. How is it not a football play? Like, what, explain to me, like, how do you actually legislate this out of the game? Like, what are you writing down in the rule book?
I think you're writing down that, you know, you can't push the quarterback from behind. I think that's what you're writing.
So you can't push any ball carrier?
Or the ball carrier. Yeah, I think you're going to have to, if you are going to ban this rule, and by the way, we're far from that. You need 24 of the 32 owners, I believe, would have to say yes and go along with the Packers if you want to ban the tush push. And by the way, you can call about this at 855-212-4227 if you feel strongly about it. I know Perloff does because it's obviously benefited his team in a ridiculous way. But I think you would have to say you cannot push the ball carriers anymore.
You're going to have to call a lot of flags on that, or I guess players just stop doing it because people push the running back all the time.
I mean, listen, I know. And I just think that that's probably going to have to be taken out of it. And it's going to have to require a little more skill from the quarterback who's running it, right? Like, it's going to have to, there's obviously some kind of secret sauce here. And to be fair, Bill Belichick is actually the guy who's figured it out the most. Going back to 1991, when Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, he's been successful on 184 of 205 QB sneaks, a third and one and fourth and one. Going back to the 90s, Brady was one of the best at it. You want to know who else was really good at it? Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Mac Jones. Like, there's clearly a skill that's teachable with the quarterback sneak that I think doesn't exist with the tush push, right? Like, if any one of Belichick's quarterbacks can line up and do this, then obviously there's something here. It's not just Brady. With the tush push, I think it's just about the specific skill set of Jalen Hurts and how this guy was basically a powerlifting when he was in high school, can squat over 500 pounds, and also is only 6 feet one or 6 feet tall, and it's just this perfect combination. So to me, I think there's more skill actually in the quarterback sneak than there is in the tush push. And I'd like to see the quarterbacks have to pull this off in a more skilled way.
But you just described Jalen Hurts as having a special skill. So that isn't that skill?
Well, he's got a special body type.
Which is like a skill.
Because clearly it's not Kelce. Like, everyone thought it was Kelce. It's not, you know, because they were just as successful at it this year, where it even was the first touchdown scored in the Super Bowl this year was a tush push, right? So,
yeah. I mean,
it has nothing to do with the offensive line. I think it's specifically about how Jalen Hurts' body is constructed. And, yeah, his lower body is just strong.
There were a couple little bumps on the tush push. They definitely were watching for offsides, and I think the officials were trying to tell they caught a couple big penalties. They missed one against, I think it was Washington in the play, or the Rams in the playoffs on a 2-point conversion. That was ridiculous. Actually, it was kind of a big deal. The tush push, though, I think is a skill, and I think every team that does not do it now is going to start to do it because it's ridiculous. Why would you not push a player? And also, this idea that you're going to ban all the pushes, that's a big part of running games now, is pushing the running back. So I think that's a massive change. Can you imagine, say, the Rams, Kyren Williams has a 5-yard carry and somebody pushes him an extra yard and you call a 5-yard penalty on that play? That's going to have a massive impact on the entire NFL, on the whole running game. Not just because this tush push, you're going to affect all 32 teams in a big way. I mean, that's going to screw up a lot of things, Maggie. I think that's a big rule change.
Well, you know what they're going to do, Pearl? They're going to put it under the auspice of health and safety. Which, by the way, you mentioned Sean McDermott yesterday at the podium saying that this is a play where they fear injury. Sean, then why are you running it so much? I mean, what is that, right? Like, so you're basically sacrificing potentially Josh Allen, who already basically broke his hand on one of these plays, the non-throwing hand earlier in the year. Like, if you're that worried about the health and safety of your players, then why are you running it the second most times behind the Philadelphia Eagles? So that's just me being a little ticked off at the head coach of the team that I root for. But they'll put it under health and safety, and they'll say, listen, it's a too dangerous of a play, and we want to legislate it out. And here's the thing about the NFL. They'll take it out. They'll put it back in. They'll do whatever they want as a moving target. Look at what they did with kickoffs this year, Perloff. Like, there's nothing sacred here about the rule book in the NFL. Half of us can't figure out what the heck it is anyway. You know what a catch is? I still don't. So let's not pretend like this is the Constitution or something. It's the NFL rule book, and they'll mess around with it as they see fit.
Well, I think McDermott is talking about like the short yardage disaster of the Chiefs game. Like McDermott needs some kind of help on, because that, did they miss on two sneaks? How many sneaks did they miss? Sorry, one or two, right?
Well, they got the bad spot, if
you
want to
believe
that.
Yeah, so the bad spot and the thing that happened at the goal line. So obviously, like, they need to tear up the rule book on short yards, because they came up short in the biggest possible moment on that. But I think the actual wording of this is going to be too difficult to do, Maggie, because you're not going to start throwing flags on running plays. Like, it's just too many flags. You don't want more flags in this game. If you're banning all contact from behind, that's a big deal, I think. But you can't just say it's only on the quarterback. Like, what is it? I think what the Packers want to do is say you can't push the quarterback on short yardage situation. Like, define short yardage. Define push the quarterback. Like, it's going to become, adding more rules in this situation is just going to complicate everything more than they want. The NFL, as successful as it is the king of unintended consequences. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, just because the Eagles have this one play, you're going to transform running games for all 32 teams? I think that's way too big a leap. I would just let it be. Go Bird.
Well, I think that they would have to say you can't push the ball carrier from behind, and that would have to be the blanket rule, because you're right. What short yardage? You know, quarterback, what if you're running a wildcat? Like, it's got to just be ball carrier, and I wouldn't put anything past the NFL, but again, it's got to be a majority of teams, more than that, a super majority of teams who would have to pass this to begin with. So we don't even know if that's going to happen.
Let's get to the bottom line here, Maggie. Are people afraid of my Philadelphia Eagles because we're drafting too well? Is this just like the Eagles are about to be a dynasty and everyone's terrified of them?
I'll tell you what, if they take away the tush push, I don't think you're a dynasty.
Oh, I really. Oh, my God. They just beat the Chiefs 40-22. And you're saying the tush push is why?
I think it's a huge part of what your team does. Definitely. I mean, Pearl, let's think about it. Doug Peterson started running this thing with Carson Wentz. This actually wasn't a Jalen Hurts thing at first. We can trace this back to Doug Peterson started it. And when have the Eagles gone to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years in their history? That hasn't happened. I know you went to a lot of NFC Championship games with Andy Reid, but, you know, it's definitely helps. And I would understand why you would want it to stay, because your team is running it better than anyone else's.
Of course, but I was sort of half joking about breaking up the dynasty, but to say that the tush push is the reason they've won 2 Super Bowls in 8 years doesn't make any sense to me, because obviously they didn't need the tush push. They just terrorized Patrick Mahomes for 60 minutes the other day. They, if you had already banned it, they still win that game by 3 touchdowns. So I'm not sure that. And also, Jalen Hurts on a regular sneak is going to be really good, too. He doesn't even need the tush push. Regular quarterback sneaks are over 80%, too. So we're not even talking about that significant of a difference. Okay. It is a little bit of a secret weapon, but most quarterback sneaks work anyway.
So here's my question. You just admitted most quarterback sneaks work anyway, right? We're probably not running them enough, if you're being honest, because of how successful they are.
Yeah.
So then why do you care? Like, if you think that Jalen Hurts can still be successful in a traditional quarterback sneak with not 2 people pushing his butt from behind, then why do you care so much if it's banned or not?
Because it's ridiculous. Because there's not a single possible way to ban it or reason to ban it. There's to say it's not a football play. What's not football about it? Well, I don't even understand. I can't understand any of the logic. It does disrupt the rhythm just a little bit. It's just like a marginal thing. I think the Eagles will still be a very good team with or without the tush push. But just to randomly ban this one play, like, what's next? Are you going to ban, like, when Saquon Barkley runs between the tackles because it's too hard to stop? Or when A.J. Brown goes down the sideline? It just doesn't make any sense. Just have a random one play. Like, and how are they going to write this rule? There's just no way to write it. So I think the whole thing is ridiculous. It just, like, strikes me as kind of sour grapes from the rest of the NFL. Like, the Eagles are just too good. And that's my general vibe of this. I am not going to downgrade their title hopes if they do ban the tush push. I think it'll just give the Eagles more bulletin board material. But generally, though, it's so silly to just try to ban one play that is totally a football play. There's nothing not football about it. I know it looks a little bit like rugby, but at the end of the day, though, what's not football about it? It's basically our guys are going to push your guys, and we're going to run over the line of scrimmage and get a first down. That's how football works.
I love that people are like, you know, well, just stop it. You know, just stop it. Well, clearly there's something about this play, and quarterback sneaks in general, but I would say is there's definitely something about this play that is become like harder to officiate and nearly impossible. Like, you want to point to the Jacksonville Jaguars who stopped it twice in a game, and that's like basically the highlight of their season. Look at how ridiculous it got with the NFC Championship game with the Washington Commanders, with Frankie Louvu getting multiple penalties to the point where the referee had to come on the public address speaker and say, if you do this again, I'm going to just award the touchdown to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, are we going to do more and more plays that put the defense at such a ridiculous disadvantage where, because the tush push, at least for the Eagles, has been even a little bit more successful, I believe, than the QB sneak. 855-212-4227.
That Frankie Louvu situation, it was first and one at the goal line. Like, they weren't going to stop him anyway. I mean, regardless of the tush push, that was going to be a touchdown. That's always a touchdown. So, I don't know. Like, that was on the Commanders. And I don't blame Frankie Louvu for doing it. It was one of the coolest plays of the year when he dove over the line of scrimmage. But just because it's hard to, again, I want someone to explain to me, like, what's the rationale here? It's hard to stop. Let's ban it. It just seems crazy to me. Crazy to me that they're going to ban a play that, to me, is totally a football play.
Well, first of all, they're not going to ban it. I mean, one team said, please, let's take a look at it. And you're going to need, again, is it 24 or 27? I can't remember the amount of teams that would have to say yes to this. And I don't think you're going to be able to get that many teams. You know, I think a lot more teams will probably say, leave it. Let's see if defenses can still continue to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also curious, like, where does this lead? If they ban the tush push, are they going to say that Patrick Mahomes can't scramble anymore, or that Lamar Jackson has to stop running? Like, what other plays are too successful? This is insane.
I love it. You act like the NFL doesn't play fast and loose with the rule book all the time. Remember when you could do an onside kick whenever you wanted to, and now you have to declare it only when you're trailing in the fourth quarter? Remember when we just had regular kickoffs? Like, let's not pretend that the NFL won't do anything at any time to mess up the sport.
But when have they stopped a play? When have they ruled against a play that was too successful?
I mean, I think probably with a lot of what defenders can do against quarterbacks. I think it was very successful for Bruce Smith to come around the edge and totally cream somebody. And you can't do that anymore. So that was something I think that people actually liked about the game, those big quarterback hits, and those are gone.
When has an offensive play been banned?
Well, I mean, we know honestly, the NFL
also,
loves offense.
Tell TJ Watt that's been banned. I hear what you're saying. They don't let you do pick plays on offense anymore. That's one, because I think a lot of coaches were using that. That's a good example. But all right, just let's stick to the tush push, though. You are afraid. Just admit it. Everyone's afraid of my Eagles, and you're trying to cut the line, have a shortcut to stop them, and it's totally unfair and ridiculous.
Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. Wouldn't mind seeing it get banned, and I do think it would actually have a really big impact on the Philadelphia Eagles. I really do. I think there's a reason why they continue to run it, and if they just could run a regular quarterback sneak and be successful, I think they would.
I think you're right. They won't ban it because it's too complicated, but you're right. Honestly, I want them to ban it now because we'd be so fired up as a fan base and a team that we would absolutely destroy everyone. So give us a call. If you have any defense of the tush push or you want to get rid of it, I want to hear your reasoning. All right, that's coming up next. Maggie Perloff, more tush push debate. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. I feel bad for the rest of the NFL. You're afraid of my Philadelphia Eagles, so now you have to ban the tush push. It's kind of pathetic. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Do you want to ban the tush push? And also, how are you going to do it? I do not understand how you actually write this rule. Let's go to Mike in Northeast Ohio, who is soft and wants to get rid of it. Mike, what are you doing here? Do you want to get rid of the tush push?
Well, I'm a Rams fan, Perloff. What the heck you think I'm going to
do? What are you a Rams fan in Northeast Ohio for?
You don't want to know. I like the L.A. Kings and the L.A. Lakers as well.
What's your reasoning?
That's another topic of conversation.
What's your reasoning?
I really do think that if I was in your position, I would be fighting for it too. I just think it's too much of a problem for injuries. And I think getting rid of the push with the running backs you were bringing up as well should go as well, because many years ago when you couldn't do that, I just thought football was better. The ref just has to blow the whistle a little quicker on stopping forward progress. and you got defensive backs and linebackers that are like holding people up, and you're losing their balance. They can't get their center of gravity. It just leads to too many unnecessary injuries. But one thing I do want to bring up is see if you guys think for about the last 25 years, I've been complaining with friends and family about the stiff arm. Stiff arm is a great play to watch, and it's a lot of fun to see a guy go down sideways while he's trying to tackle a locomotive like Derrick Henry. But the problem with that is that why are hands to the face called all the time on the offensive and defensive line? Mm-hmm. And stiff armers, that's what they do. They grab people basically by the neck or the throat and sling them down, and they can't control themselves falling down. I think the stiff arm should actually be, you could stiff arm them to like the shoulder, the arm, or the chest area, but not from the neck up. And I really think they need to do something with that first, actually.
Mike. Yeah, I hear you, but it's all about the offense now, right? So you give all the advantages to the offense, as Maggie said last segment.
And I do agree with that, but if we look at back at all the rules they changed for the quarterbacks, you know, they could be putting a skirt and a dress on nowadays because you even blow by them, they're basically going to call a penalty. So if they can change penalties that affect the most important position on the field, like the quarterback, I think there's a good chance they could get rid of the tush push just as easily.
Mike, thanks for the call. It's an interesting call. You know, I think, yeah, it's the obvious answer, which is you want to give a little bit of the advantage to the ball carrier to be able to stiff arm and, you know, continue the play. But it does feel a little silly that you can't put your hands to the face on any other play. And by the way, another rule that may get reviewed is reviewing hands to the face. So we might get that as another one where replay review can check the hands to the face. Well, I think that's off of the Sam Darnold situation that happened earlier this year.
Is it hands to the face or face mask?
Face mask. Is it hands to the face or face mask?
Probably
face mask.
You might be right. It's both, but that'd be really hard because the blockers engage at the line and they're always like, they're getting close up. If they start reviewing that, that's going to be annoying. Face mask when the player's head turns, that is obvious. You know, one thing, Maggie, and I think James Cook did this a few times with your Bills. The runner gets stopped at the 4-yard line, then everyone starts pushing him. And as the caller pointed out, like they don't blow the whistle. That's a big deal, too. Like, I wonder if they ban the tush push, because then if the guy's getting held up and the defender comes in and hits him, they blow the whistle. Like, the offense gets such an advantage because they say, like, oh, you can't hit him when he's held up like that, but you can push him into the end zone. I feel like the offense has such an advantage on those plays. Don't you see a lot more of that? I feel like that wasn't around when I was a kid. Now you see running backs getting carried into the end zone all the time.
Yeah, because you couldn't push from behind until like 2005. So, right, yeah, when we were kids, you couldn't do that.
I think the last 2 years, though, I think it's ticked up significantly. I feel like they're swallowing their whistle on forward progress more than they ever have. I feel like it's really a very, very recent trend.
Rich is in California. Rich, what do you think? Ban the tush push or keep it?
I think it's just a kind of a modification of something that we saw in 1987 with a guy by the name of Richard Perry, who is basically the same concept. The only thing that I would have an issue with the tush push is you've got a lot of assembled beef over there pushing in two opposite directions.
Yeah.
And it will probably keep going until such time as a quarterback blows out a knee or somebody hits the quarterback in the head trying to go over the pile. The fact of the matter is, I don't know that you can negate the advantage the offense has if they've got to get less than half a yard. I remember an old coach once telling me, if you guys can't get a yard on offense, don't even bother showing up.
Yeah.
Did you say Richard Perry?
Rich.
You mean William Perry?
Yeah. William Perry. Refrigerator Perry.
I thought it was Rich. Oh, well, guess
William
wrong name.
Yeah, yeah. No, or Fred Perry. I'm not sure which Perry it is, but yeah, no.
Stephen Perry?
That wasn't really a tush push, though. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, going back to the Super Bowl with the Bears. But here's the thing. Mahomes did hurt his knee on the tush push, which is why they don't run it anymore with Kansas City. And Brock Purdy got hit and had a pretty big head injury when they were running the tush push. And the 49ers, I don't think, do it anymore. So I see Rich's point, but, you know, guys have gotten hurt on this play. And now's the first time that they're putting it up for any kind of review, as far as we know.
This is actually a question. I know Mahomes got hurt on a sneak. It was a tush push, like someone was hitting him from behind?
I believe so. This, I think, goes back to 2019. And I don't think that the Chiefs have run it since.
Right, but that you sure that wasn't just a normal sneak?
I thought it was a tush push. That's the articles I was reading because yesterday I was doing a lot of research about this, about why certain teams don't run this play. And one of the lines was that the Chiefs don't do it because Mahomes hurt his knee on the play. And again, Purdy got hit in the head and suffered a head injury on a tush push too. So guys are getting hurt. And I still think this thing is, I think the tush push is not going anywhere, personally.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's actually impossible to rule out because what are you going to say? Yeah, I'm actually looking at the play. Mahomes got hurt. I don't think he was. Yeah, he got pushed at the end, but it wasn't like an Eagles tush push. That's the thing. Like, the Eagles tush push is just within the rules. So anyway, I don't think it's going anywhere. Let's take one more call on the tush push. George in Los Angeles. Let's get some reason into the show, George. Let's keep the tush push.
Oh, absolutely. I want to keep it. I think it's just part of football, and Philadelphia's mastered it to a good degree in football, man. Deal with it, figure it out, and you can get hurt on any play, whether it's tush push or just running the ball, or just, you know, however extending your leg because you just hit the field wrong or whatever. But I agree, we should keep it. And anyway, it's good to talk to you guys again.
I know, George, there could be some major changes with your Rams coming up here in the near future. George, we've actually talked about the Stafford situation with George, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe George said if the Rams can get some serious draft capital, he'd be in favor of it. So that's a little just taking the temperature of the Rams fans out there.
That is so I totally get it, but that's so surprising to me because I felt like the Rams were really close last year. I mean, honestly, if their quarterback was a little better at the tush push, they probably would have beaten my Eagles.
Yeah, Stafford's not running that tush push. No shot.
All right. Andrew Bogish is here. Before we get to headlines.
Que cantaba el rey David hoy por ser tu santo te las cantamos a ti despierta mi bien despierta mira que ya amaneció.
All
right, Manny, translate.
A little Mexican birthday song for you, Mr. Andrew Bogish.
My new best friend serenading me. What else could I want?
In Spanish, too, in a different language.
En español.
Muy bien. Happy birthday, Bogish.
You remember this year.
And by the way,
we did remember this year.
Everybody knows the Spanish happy birthday song. You didn't. What was that?
This was the Mexican version.
I didn't hear Feliz.
Why does it sound so sad?
Yeah. What was
I said
that?
It for you. I got you.
It's supposed to be a wake up song. It's 7:32 in the morning. I didn't want to blast, you know, Northern California with any, you know, 2 Chainz or Kanye West or something.
Wait a minute, but Manny, why does the Mexican happy birthday song sound like it's somebody, like a funeral song? Why does it sound so sad?
This is what you sing when the person wakes up. You don't want to, you want some, like a Slipknot or something as soon as you wake up? No, you want something nice, cool, something nice and sweet to wake you up. Nothing that'll surprise you and wake you up and, you know.
It's not like the happy birthday song is Quiet Riot or Megadeth or something. It's not that hard of a song.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Wait, so Manny, do you sing one happy birthday song in the morning in Mexican culture and then what, one in the afternoon and one at night? How many are you getting?
You'll get all of them. You'll get you'll get a couple of serenations. You'll get this one in the morning. You'll get this one. You'll get Feliz cumpleaños as soon as it's time to cut the cake, and then everybody will go ahead and sing Las Mañanitas one more time.
I mean, do we have like a pinata? Can we really just do this whole fiesta, right? But Bogish, happy birthday. We've been paranoid that we are going to forget for a solid 12 months.
Yeah.
Because
even
you were
last week.
Deeply offended that we didn't know your birthday last year, even though we had just started the show. But you know, we're hoping that it's a fun one for you. What do you got planned for today?
Something is planned. I don't know what it is. There's some kind of dinner scheme going on around my house tonight, but I don't know what it is. So something's happening, but I got no details.
Okay. Well, don't ask too many questions. Just let it happen.
Oh, I've been asking a lot
ask
of questions.
Ask every question possible.
Yes.
Why? Don't kill it with questions. Just, you know, let your family surprise you.
Make your birthday an interrogation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was prepared to trade with my kids. They know. I was offering them things like give up the secret.
An extra hour of FIFA play with dad.
Yeah. Or you want some Robux or some Fortnite money? Let's go.
Some Robux? Oh, those are priceless nowadays.
Well, listen, we're happy to support your gaming habit if you'd like us to.
By the way, I was telling
mid-40s
Manny,
guy.
I was telling Manny that I heard in an Uber last night the greatest birthday rap song I've ever heard in my life and tried to Shazam it because it was so cool. It was like a 3-minute birthday song and I can't find it. Do you know this, Maggie? It's like it's a rap song to celebrate someone's birthday.
It's not Birthday Song by 2 Chainz. We already established that.
No, it's not Birthday Song by 2 Chainz. I'm going to find this.
Whose birthday in the Uber was it?
It was just, no, the DJ on the radio station was playing it out to somebody.
Huh.
Anyway, there's a lot. I think we have to go back to the birthday song well, Manny. That was good, but I think we can do better.
Silence.
Manny, I liked it.
Thank you, birthday boy. That's all that really matters. So what are you now, about 75 years old?
Yeah, feels like it. 45, 75, it's all the same thing at this point.
God, I wonder
what
it was like.
I think they said 45 is the new 75.
Yeah.
You know? That's how it works.
Bogus, what was it like to be born in the 40s?
Dude, can you imagine when it was just candles? No electricity?
You caught Jackie Robinson, right? You saw Jackie Robinson
play? Yeah. Yeah. I was his camp counselor.
Bogus is like basically the new Forrest Gump. He was there through everything throughout history because you're a million years old. Could Bogus be a vampire? It's possible.
That feels insulting.
Why? You wouldn't age.
Yeah, but I'd be a vampire. I don't want to look like Dracula.
No, but you could be, you don't have to be Nosferatu. You could be Brad Pitt and, Tom Cruise.
Brad Pitt as Nosferatu.
It's called Interview with a Vampire, Manny. I know it came out in the 90s, but you should take a look.
It's a black and white. You'll be fine.
Bogues, we're happy we can be with you. Well, me from afar, but happy to be with you on your birthday and hope it's a great one. I'd love to say we got you something, but I think Perloff brought some chocolates from a Costa Rican airport yesterday, so that's going to have to suffice.
And everyone got one, but mine were the special one, I'm sure. And he's not listening, so we're fine.
Yeah, he's well, that's out. New.
Wait,
yeah.
did we just go over the Hawks score? What's happening here?
Exactly. We will begin with the NBA, up by 25 in the third, 22 entering the fourth. The Thunder got surprised by the T-Wolves last night, like Maggie got surprised by Enora. Minnesota forcing OT and then kept going.
SGA now with it against Nikhil. They run Nas at him in a double. SGA runs away from that, attacks down the lane, rises up. His shot blocked by Anthony Edwards. It's loose in the corner. TJ Shannon's got it. And a whistle and a timeout is called by Minnesota. Anthony Edwards just saved the day. He blocked SGA at the rim.
Alan Horton on T-Wolves radio after getting blocked there. SGA also missed a tying three a few seconds later, giving Minnesota the 131-128 thievery. Edwards adding 17 points, 8 rebounds, and another post-game curse to that block.
Gentlemen,
they just need to stop talking
like he
to him
cares
on FanDuel Sports Network.
Okay,
is the third
one thing
time, I think.
So, guys, I think we have our next great like NBA rivalry here.
Anthony Edwards against the FCC.
Yes, a tale as old as time. I think it's got to be Shea and Anthony Edwards. Did you guys see when Anthony Edwards just two-hand pushed Shea to the ground? Like Miles Garrett can't even do that to Joe Burrow. Like He gave him like a two-handed push, and Shea just fell over. No? Anyone?
Look it up. Wow. That'd be great for the NBA, right? A little rivalry action?
Well, these two teams just played a home-and-home. It was fantastic. I can't believe that the T-Wolves came back, and they actually came back without Anthony Edwards. Didn't play a lot of the fourth quarter, but then he was really great in overtime. This was nuts. This game, something happened in this game last night. Like, I feel like this is a turning point, but this was a moment, I think, for the league.
Well, I mean, you need them both to be kind of title contenders to get, like, to the Bird Magic stage. But T-Wolves, after that stupid Karl Anthony Towns trade, are they ever going to be back there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But Anthony Edwards clearly is going to try to do everything he possibly can. I love this as a rivalry, so I'm hoping it sticks.
Yeah, the odd thing, though, was you left after the third quarter. I left at halftime. Was anyone still there for the fourth quarter rally?
Well, you think when a team goes into the fourth quarter with a 22-point lead that they got this one wrapped up, but the NBA is wild right now.
The Nuggets last night, 125-116, winners in Indiana. Nikola Jokic, 18 points, a career-high 19 assists. The Pistons topped the Clippers, 106-97 for a seventh consecutive win. And the Blazers opened a seven-game road trip with a 114-112 win in Utah. I believe Pearl, if he's listening, is still a Houston Cougars fan. The number four team in the nation won again last night.
Walton down the left sideline. Walton on the bounce, top of the key, launches the three, in and out. There's the horn, and the Cougars win. For the second season in a row, the Cougars are the Big 12 champions.
Courtesy of a 69-61 win at 10th-ranked Texas Tech last night. Texas is number one in the AP Women's Poll for the first time in 21 years, third new number one in as many weeks. Last week's number one, Notre Dame, dropping to third after losing at NC State, who is now number nine. Yankee slugger Giancarlo Stanton reportedly back here in New York for medical testing. Manager Aaron Boone called it a personal matter. If it is a doctor's appointment, it's unclear if it is related to Stanton's double tennis elbow.
Oh, boy.
The Winnipeg Jets on a 10-game win streak after outlasting the Sharks 2-1 in overtime, and the Kings scored four times in the third for a 5-2 win over Vegas. Pearl, you can listen again.
Wait, hold on. I've got a question from my vantage point. I'm sorry, I didn't see this story. So Aaron Boone said that Giancarlo Stanton is back in New York to see a doctor for a personal reason?
The quote was, it's a personal thing, that's all I can say right now.
Okay, well that's not double tennis elbow then.
No, so
but, like, that's not personal.
But the newspaper reports are that he's here for medical testing, but they don't know if it's for the elbows. So there's a lot, there's things going in different directions right now.
Yeah, I'm a little thrown off by why Boone would characterize it as a personal thing when injury reports are not personal at all.
So this is the quote from Boone from yesterday. I can tell you he is in New York, but it's personal in nature, and I'm going to leave it at that for now. That's all I can comment on.
That doesn't sound weird to anybody else.
Of course it's weird. That's why it's in the update, because this guy has a new injury and new style of injury every 3 months.
Thank you.
No, I know. I feel like we've been listening to a lot of Aaron Boone over the last several years and him talking about Giancarlo Stanton injuries because there's been so many of them, and I've never heard it put like that. Personal makes it sound like he's seeing a shrink or something.
Or it's like a non-baseball injury. That was my first thought.
Maybe the tennis elbows are really from tennis. That would be wild. Giancarlo's got this sick one-handed backhand, apparently. I don't know. That's nuts.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, can Giancarlo Stanton keep any tennis ball within? Is it everything go deep with
it? That dude has no lateral quickness. Yeah. He cannot move side to side.
His forehand goes 400 feet.
That too. He has no lateral quickness. And if the ball comes to him, he will knock it out 110 miles an hour.
A lot of quick points when Stanton plays.
Yeah.
A lot of break points.
Yes. Something tells me this is not going to be a guy playing like mixed doubles or something later in life. Like, it would probably blow out both of his knees within the first 5 minutes.
Pickleball Giancarlo.
Yeah. I'd like to see Aaron Judge serve. That would be a sight to see.
Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge playing doubles pickleball.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Could you just imagine at 6'6" what Aaron Judge's first serve would look like? Amazing.
It would be pretty unreal. He'd probably throw out his shoulder, though, and have to be set for 6 months.
All right, guys, let's throw a break now.
These guys are so brittle.
Oh, the
all right,
make
before
me sad.
We make Manny depressed, yeah. All right, well, don't worry about it. Still got a long, long way to go.
Oh, great.
Okay, folks, thanks so much, and happy birthday to you as well.
85.
Okay, coming up. Speaking of pickleball, I think you're due somewhere on a pickleball court any moment.
You got a shuffleboard anywhere?
Coming up,
I actually have a bingo night in the Brooklyn nightclub that I'm going to point you to.
That's too intense, we learned out. I think Bogus is like ready to sidle up to a Mahjong table somewhere. Okay, lots more to do, including we will get to some college football news that will be coming out later today. Meetings ongoing in Texas that you need to know about. It's Maggie Perloff.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. All right, we're in the post-football season Defensive Player of the Week, typically basketball or hockey. Manny, you selected it this week, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay. Maggie, I have no idea. Oh, you got one?
I have a guess. Yeah.
I have a guess, too. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, trying to figure this out, you got to read the person who chose more than actually what the box score is.
Yes.
Now, I know Manny doesn't love this team. I don't even think he utters their name. But I think he would do this because Perloff, at one point, said this person was not a difference maker, and it turns out they are one of the young stars of the league. Dyson Daniels of the Atlanta Hawks with 7 steals against the Miami Heat. Manny said earlier, a final score of 98-86 said, what is this, the 90s? Which Manny doesn't remember because he didn't live through them. I think Manny made Dyson Daniels the defensive player.
Dyson Daniels is a menace on defense. I'll give you that. But call him a difference maker feels a little strong
to
me.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
This guy knows ball.
By the way, I think you're going with the aforementioned Houston Cougars, who are just shutting down top 10 teams left and right. My guy, LJ Cryer, Defensive Player of the Week. Who do you have, Manny?
All right, well, this week's defensive player goes to the entire Knicks defense because they can't defend anybody. I joke, I kid. The defensive player, Maggie, you're spot on. It's Dyson Daniels. Since last Tuesday,
hey!
You guys, since last Tuesday, Daniels, he has 14 steals, including that 7-steal performance Maggie just mentioned last night in the Hawks' 98-86 win over the Heat. I'd also be remiss not to mention a pair of double-doubles in the last 3 games with respectable nights on the defensive glass. Dyson Daniels, your defensive player of the week.
God,
and I'm sure that probably pained Manny quite a bit because you hate giving any kind of props to the Atlanta Hawks, but he definitely deserves it. Can I say something about Houston? Can I tell you something, too, about Houston? They've been extremely impressive. The Cougars, I'm assuming, are going to go further than the Sweet 16 this year, I would imagine. Like, you can never predict the NCAA tournament, but this is a really good team. But two things. Last night, they were playing a Texas Tech team that looked really good despite missing two of their top point scorers, and they actually had the same thing happen in their last game against Iowa State. Two of the top scorers for Iowa State also didn't play in this game, and they were still kind of close games, but I'm a believer in Houston. I think they're good. I actually was very impressed with Texas Tech last night, hanging with Houston despite the fact they were down two of their leading scorers.
Well, yeah, remember last year Houston had the injuries and the loss to Duke. I believe it was to Duke.
I think I had them in the Sweet 16.
I had them going all the way. They're really good again this year. They, you know, obviously we're fans because we went to a fundraiser. Really, it was more about the Houston Cougars football program. It was what's that guy's name? Fertitta. At the Fertitta's apartment, and he had a Houston Rockets half court basketball court in his penthouse apartment. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. Mattress Mack was there. We're all about the Houston Cougars fundraising here.
Yeah, they totally wined and dined us. We got to hang out. Tillman Fertitta's name is actually on the Houston arena. But Kelvin Sampson was not at that party. Dana Holgorsen was at that party. So, yeah, it was a little more of a football thing. We got to hang with Case Keenum, eat a lot of sushi. It was a fantastic night. I still have my slippers, actually, from that evening. And because I'm here doing the show from New Jersey, can I show you the slippers?
Yeah, you have
them
right
there. Hold on one
second.
If you're watching, I do. I'm literally doing the show from my closet. So where else do you keep slippers? Here you go. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Here are the slippers from the Linking Cougs Collective.
Yeah, amazing.
Couldn't wear my high heels on the basketball court. That's a no. So they gave me a pair of slippers, and I took them home with me.
So it's funny to me, too, because that you're right. That was all about football. I feel like University of Houston, there's so much football talent there. They should be – why are they so much better at basketball than football? They should be a football powerhouse, too. Maybe they will be. But I love that we're a pro-Cougs team. Because Case Keenum, my buddy, has been trying to get me on that Cougars basketball bandwagon forever.
So Case was at the game,
The
Houston-Iowa State game. He was in charge of riling up the crowd with like a whose house, our house kind of thing. And Case was, he was nailing it.
Yeah, someone told me, I didn't see it because I was still out of town. It was game day. He was part of the game day. This is getting me excited for March, by the way. This is really cool. But hey, Meg, on the college football front, I cannot believe you told me before the show something that completely baffled me, blew my mind about what changes might be coming to college football. Like, the playoff is already changing fast enough. What you told me, just, I do not understand it all, and you have to explain it to me next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.